Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Being like Jesus, that is what we've been exploring throughout the month of February. What's it mean to look like Jesus? We've reached the end of this four-part series, Roger, but why don't you remind us where we have been so far?
You know, if Jesus could walk the streets of our town today, what would we notice? And the simplistic answer would be, well, we'd notice his hair color, how tall he was. The Bible doesn't give us any of that, because that wasn't the focus and the emphasis God wants us to have. It was upon his heart and his character. And so what we looked at in our first lesson, first of all, is it even possible for us to look like Jesus? Has he raised the bar so high? Is he asking us to climb the mountain that we cannot climb? And we saw that that's really not the answer. We can be like Jesus. The Bible really wants us to be like Jesus. And there's just numerous passages that talks about Christ living in us, Christ being formed in us to imitate Christ. So we're looking at that concept. And so in our second lesson, we talked about holiness. If we saw Jesus today, that's one of the things that would stand out, his holiness and how pure and righteous he was. Our next lesson was on faithfulness and how the Lord was faithful to his cause and to his purpose and to his God. And there was lots of ways he could have gotten off track, lots of things that could have tied him down, but he stayed the course and he was faithful, as we should be as well. Well, we come to the end of this little series, and there's a lot of other words we could have used. There's just lots of things about the wonderful character of our Lord. But one of them that stands out so much, and I think the one that transcends most religions today that they think about Jesus, and that is the compassion of Jesus. Jesus loves. And when we think about that idea, that carries over to us today. What attracts us about Jesus is that he loves us. He cares for us. He came to earth for us, and he died for us. And so compassion is where we want to look at today and kind of talk about these things. Let's begin by looking at just a few examples in our Bible. Compassion is used multiple times in the story of Jesus, but I've got just two or three I picked out from the book of Matthew. Matthew 9, verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. So compassion begins with, it is a feeling. It's an internal type of thing. When we write the word compassion on a piece of paper, we see the word compass. And compass is about direction. And so when we think about compassion, it's about the direction, not inward, but outward toward other people. We care about other people. Another Matthew passage would be in Matthew chapter 14. And Matthew 14 and in verse 14, Jesus would say it this way. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Notice again the word felt. That's what compassion is. It's to feel. Sympathy and empathy kind of go along with that. I feel your pain. I care for you. This is a powerful characteristic that's really lacking today. I think too many people in our times today are walking around with a mirror in front of them, and all they see is themselves, and everything is based on self. And if I like it, it's good. If I don't, I don't care. And we see compassion there. A third Matthew passage, Matthew chapter 18, here in the midst of a story, a parable, Jesus was talking about the subject of forgiveness, and he talked about a man who owed 10,000 talents to his master, and he says in verse 27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Now, a couple things, and we're going to then kind of stretch this just a little bit. So compassion is internal. It's how I feel. But what we notice with all these verses here is that it follows with an action. Jesus felt compassion, so he healed. This master felt compassion, so he forgave. And so compassion is internal, but it leads to external deeds. We won't do the external unless we first have the internal.
Roger, I think one of my favorite aspects of this series of podcasts, these conversations with you, is how unintentionally they so often connect with recent conversations. Our listeners may remember that this past Wednesday we talked about this idea that really sprung from your sermon on Sunday, that Christ is working on us. And we highlighted three key words: choice and character and conviction. And as I hear you talking about compassion, I think it just naturally flows into what we've been exploring in our Rise and Build theme. I agree with you. I think clearly it is something that is felt. We are told by Matthew, the gospel writer, what Jesus felt, and that is what led him to do something. But what I find so fascinating is this is not the feeling that a lot of people seem to have. I know I have had the tendency to fall into this mindset of, well, right now I just don't feel like it, therefore I'm not going to do it. Going back to your sermon from this past Sunday, he's still working on me. Compassion is a choice, and choice is shaped by character, and character is upheld by conviction. It reminds me of one of Jesus's most famous parables in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus gave us this simple illustration of a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, I would interject, he made a choice. He passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, that Levite made a choice. He passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where that man was. When he saw him, he had compassion. And so that compassion that he felt led to the action, Roger, that I think you're describing. He went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." And Jesus' question then is, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? Neighborliness is a character trait, I think, that we all appreciate. But we need to realize here in 2021 that Jesus is calling us to be more than, well, you know, just the occasional kind and respectful neighbor. He's calling for an entire mindset, right? When the people who hear his question respond, well, obviously it was the one who showed mercy. Jesus tells his disciples then, and even today, you go and do likewise. Have compassion. But that doesn't revolve around me. Okay, I woke up on the right side of the bed and I've got a relatively free schedule and you know, I just happen to run across someone, and if I feel like it, I'm going to stop. No, being compassionate as Jesus is compassionate is the fruit of a renewed character built on real godly convictions.
You know, that expression, "I don't feel like it," you won't find that in your Bible.
No.
You never see God asking people that. Noah, build this boat, and every human being outside your family is going to drown. By the way, how do you feel about that? He never asked them that. Abraham, take your only child up to the top of this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. By the way, how do you feel? He never asked, because it's not about us. And compassion is to feel, but it's more than just feeling sorry or feeling pity. It's move to action. Move to action because it's the right thing to do. Now, a lot of folks, you know, it's a rainy, pouring day, and there's this little puppy dog out there, and people will pull the car because they feel sorry for that little dog. He's helpless. That's okay. But compassion, as Jesus is talking about, is loving our enemies, doing good to people who may not do good to us back. And that is the compassionate call that God wants us to have.
That's the stuff of conviction, right? That even though this person maybe is treating me as an enemy, I am convicted that that person is created in God's image, that that person has a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere, that that person, because he or she is created in God's image, is worthy of dignity and respect. Those sorts of convictions don't come naturally to us. We might decide well to kind of get in line with some of those if we feel like it. But Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount says, listen, if you treat people kindly who are only kind to you, well, you don't have to have a heart for God to do that. That's not the stuff of conviction, but that really is where it begins. Conviction that is being shaped, reshaped, constantly refined by our Father in heaven.
And we get that as we spend some time in the Gospels and we start looking at humanity through the eyes of God rather than our own eyes. We look through our own eyes and here's this guy out there. He can do nothing for me. So why should I care about him? You know, here's somebody and he doesn't like the same team I like. So I don't care about him. And we run all of our thoughts through the filter of us. And if it's something I can get some advantage out of, if it's something that's going to help me out, if it's a friend of mine, then I'll be compassionate. But if it's not, you know what? I really don't care. And people will even use this expression, I don't want to get involved. I just don't want to get involved. And that's just closing the door. But when we walk through the gospel and we filter everything through the eyes of Jesus, what would Jesus do? And to look like Jesus is to care for all people. You know, we've got this hymn we sing it a lot of times at funerals. It simply says, does Jesus care? And, you know, the chorus line is, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. I wonder sometimes if we could just rephrase that hymn, does Jesus people care? And one of the tragedies is when people leave a congregation and say, I don't think anybody cares here. And that should never be said. So it behooves us to understand that if I want to be like Jesus, I've got to be holy. I've got to be faithful. I've got to become compassionate.
Yeah, I love that reminder, especially in light of where our church family is in our daily Bible reading schedule. We've been reading the Gospel of Mark. And I would really encourage you to hear what Roger is saying. We are walking through, for instance, Mark's gospel, not simply to give people something to do, not simply to have boxes to check off on a to-do list. Doing things like reading the Gospel of Mark has the power to shape our character. And choices spring from character. Compassion is a choice that results in actions for the good of others. I referenced Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan a moment ago. What really sparked the telling of that parable was a question from a lawyer in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I guess, Roger, that would be my parting encouragement to our listeners as we head into the weekend. Compassion is more than a notable trait that is worthy of admiration. Compassion is more than, well, you know, that person, they sure do seem to care, and I hope one day to be more like them, but I'll get to that eventually. Compassion is directly tied by the Lord himself to the answer to, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
And again, that's illustrated over and over and over in the Gospels, particularly Mark, which you just mentioned. I mean, I think of Mark chapter 5, when Jesus has crossed the sea, immediately there comes a synagogue official. His little girl is dying. He begs Jesus to come and to save her. How easy Jesus could say, I know about you synagogue officials. Every time I do something, you guys are on my back. Every time I say something, you twist it. You guys are trying to get rid of me. You guys do not believe in me. I'm sorry. I have no time or patience for you. No, that's not how that story goes. And aren't you glad it doesn't go that way?
Absolutely.
And what does he do? He goes to that home. That little girl dies, but he takes her by the hand and he raises her up from the dead. And that's compassion. And you can just imagine that synagogue official after that. And if we had the next day story here, his views changed. I mean, Jesus gave him life. Jesus gave his little girl a new chance. And who cares what other people were now saying? When they got together with the other synagogue, I don't know if they had synagogue official meetings or not, but they did. You can see this guy singing a different song now, because this Jesus really cares. And what comes out of that sometimes is, how do you show that? You know, to say, I care for you. Well, how would you put some meat on that bones, Jason?
Yeah. It is going to be, you learn from a very young age that time is so often tied to real love and respect and interest. What I love about that Good Samaritan parable is they all three had places to be and things to do, right? Two of them essentially said, you know what? I don't have time for this right now. One stopped. Wherever it was that he was going to go, he stopped and gave that man in need his undivided attention. I think one of the most valuable commodities we have in 2021 is undivided attention and time. What else would you add?
Well, you know, sometimes when especially when there's been a death or something, you'll hear people say, can I do something? And most times people won't tell you anything to do. So go beyond that. Especially if you've been down that road yourself. You've had a death in the family. You know what helps, what doesn't help. And so you just put some action there. You take some food. You don't have to wait for the mat. Most people aren't going to ask. They'll just take care of themselves. There's been a death and there's some things need to be done around the house. You just show up. You go. As this is being broadcast, we are at a funeral ourselves, and it's out of state. But we're doing this because that's the right thing to do. It's one thing to say, hey, I care, but show it. That's what Jesus always did. People would never walk away thinking, I wonder if Jesus cares.
Yeah.
They knew he cared. You and I know he cares. And when someone says, How do I know that? Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The exclamation point of the Bible is the cross of Jesus. So how do I know that God loves me? You may say, well, look at my life. I've got handicapped kids. I got this problem. I got that problem. How do I know? The cross of Jesus shows us that God cares. And so when someone says to me, do you care? What are you going to do? You can say, well, yeah, sure. Or are you going to show it?
Yeah. You go and do likewise, was what he said there at the conclusion of that great parable. What's it mean to look like Jesus? Roger, you mentioned there are a lot of things that we could use to answer that question. But we hope these three have made you think. being holy as he is holy, being faithful as he is faithful, and showing compassion as he showed compassion. Certainly something valuable to think about as we head into a new God-given weekend. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for joining me in this series. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. As hard as it is to believe, Lord willing, next Friday, we'll be in the month of March. We'll have a brand new series, but we hope that this one, this episode, has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. Always remember, when you're walking with the holy, faithful, compassionate Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.